Hey there, and welcome back to 10 Pounds 10 Times, a series here on the Irresistible You podcast. Hey guys, how are you doing? We have a lot to catch up on. I had all the intentions last week of getting this podcast up, and with everything that was going on in my world with spring break and sick children, it just did not happen. So I am here to catch you up, let you know how things are going in my world, and share an update. And if you're tuning in for the first time, this is a series that I have just started doing within the Irresistible You podcast, where I am chronicling my real-time weight loss journey with you guys as I, you know, try to get this weight off for the last time after my second child and all the things. So let's just get into it because I have so much to cover. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you go and listen to this week's Irresistible You podcast episode number 156, where I am talking about stress and how stress keeps you overweight and keeps you from losing the weight and just all these kind of realizations and such that I've been having this week as I've started to make some big changes here in my life. So let's get into the numbers first. That's how I'm going to start this series. Is we're going to first talk about what is my results, what does the scale say, and then we're going to talk about the other ways that we measure our weight loss. Because weight loss is not just measured in the pounds that you're losing. It's also measured in your clothes. It's measured in how you feel, your emotions, your mental state, your physical state. There's so many non-scale victories. And I want you guys to understand that weighing in and looking at the number on the scale is only one component in all the data pieces that you have in your personal weight loss journey. Okay. So let's just dive in first with the numbers. Okay. All right. So 10 pounds, 10 times, you guys know that's how I explained it in the introduction episodes. If you're wondering why the podcast is called that, you can go back and listen to that at your own time. But right now we are in the decade of the 230s, and I have said it and I will say it again. My goal and intention is that when I leave that particular decade, I have no intention of returning and I have no reason to return. There's literally no reason for me to ever come back to these weights. So right now we started in the 270s and we are now in the 230s. And the last time I came on the podcast with you guys, I had weighed in at 236.6. And today I did my weigh in again and I am down to 234. So last week when I weighed in, I did not skip my weigh in. I just did not have time for the podcast. So when I weighed in last week, I was at 234.6, which was a 2 pound loss from the week prior. And when I got on this week, I am down 0.6 to 234. So we are like almost in the clear. We are almost out of these 230s, girl. We are about to do it. We are about to say goodbye. I don't ever want to see you again. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for everything, but I am done with you. Goodbye. We are done. So we are just about 4 pounds before I get out of this decade. And I'm really excited about that. Now, let's talk about some other things. So I feel really good. And I shared this in the main podcast episode. And I said in that episode that I feel good, not because I'm losing weight consistently. I'm losing weight consistently because I mentally and emotionally feel better. And that is really key for you guys to understand, that it's not the weight loss directly that's going to change things for you. You have to change you first. And I always say it that, you know, weight loss does not begin in the kitchen. It does not begin at the gym. It begins in your own mind and managing your mind, managing your emotions, managing your stress. And I was thinking back to, okay, we've had 2.6 pounds lost since we last chatted. So that's 2.6 pounds in what, 2 weeks? And that's a pound a week, guys. And I was thinking, okay, what has changed? What am I doing differently that I wasn't doing a month ago? Because over the past, 6 to 8 months, my weight basically stayed the same. So what am I doing differently in these last couple weeks, last month or so. And I'm going to be very, you know, I'm always real with you guys, but like very honest, like I have not been going balls to the wall meal prepping. I haven't been meal prepping at all. Meal planning, tracking, journaling, measuring. I actually haven't been doing I haven't been doing that at all, to be honest with you. I have just become more intentional. I've become more self-aware of what I'm doing. And I honestly, and I know I've cut back some things for sure, like some of the fast food and snacking and things like that. I know I have cut back on that, but I have not felt deprived. I have not felt like I'm dieting, if you will. You know the feeling. I just feel like I'm living my damn life. And the times that I have been the most successful, like when I was losing all the weight after my daughter was born, and the weight stayed off until I got pregnant again, I never felt like I was on a diet. I never felt like I was having to be deprived of certain things. I felt healthier, stronger, and I just felt like I was living life. And when I sit here and analyze, okay, what am I doing differently? The one common denominator is the stress. You longtime listeners know the and you don't even know all of it, but you know what I have shared. The ups and downs and things that have happened over the past almost 2 years now. It's been probably two very challenging years, okay, where I have been in survival mode. I have dealt with chronic stress. And when you are in chronic stress survival mode, even if you are eating clean and healthy, your body does not necessarily release the weight. Your body holds on to the fat. It holds on to the weight because your body is doing what your body was designed to do. Your body was designed to say, oh my God, we're in a stressful situation. I need to hold on to everything and I'm not going to let it go. And then you have all this cortisol and adrenaline and hormones that are just surging and not allowing you to have the weight come off. And that, guys, I have to tell you, right now is the biggest change for me, is my stress levels, I feel, have gone down a lot. They're never going to be non-existent for any of us. You know, life has stresses. But that chronic state of stress that I was in for so long, I feel like the light started coming back on for me in that area. Know, the dust is starting to settle. Things are starting to work out a lot better. Things are getting easier. And that's not to say, I mean, just this week, there were some things that came up. They're like, oh my God. But it's like, we have to start dealing with things differently. And I am using this time while the stress has gone down for me in certain areas to really take a bigger look at how much it impacts our physical, mental, and emotional state and health. Because sometimes when you're in the stress and you're in the storm, you can't see certain things. You just can't see it. And when things start to die down and relax a little bit, then you start to see how many things you are not doing or putting on hold. And for me, I almost have like more energy lately where I feel like I want to take on more things or more projects, and I'm just more motivated to do certain things. You know, when you're in survival mode, that's what you're doing. You're just trying to survive. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's the biggest change for me. And so I'm really taking this time to like really fine tune and get myself together so that I have better strategies in place to handle the stress and the waves of it that are going to come. Because yes, things can knock us off our feet. Last year knocked me off mine. Okay. Things unexpected like that can happen. But we have to have foundations and plans in place of ways that we are releasing that stress. And when you have held on to something and there's been one thing after another for so long, it's almost like you get used to it. You get used to the heaviness of it. You get used to, and when it finally goes down, it's like this release where you just cry and you're like, I can't believe I was carrying all that. How was I doing it? You know, and when you have that cortisol that's just shooting through your veins all day long, right? And that adrenaline, no matter what you do, your body cannot do the things it needs to do to take better care of itself and to release the weight. So, right now, guys, that's my secret. It's not a secret. It's like I have just gotten to a place where my stress levels have gone down. And I think naturally, my body said, oh God, like it, okay, we can rest a little bit here and let's let go of some of this. And so now it's time for me to really step it up with my activity, with my meals, okay? Because life is busy, life is crazy at times, and if you don't prepare and plan and be in, and get intentional about it, that's how you end up in the drive-thru. That's how you end up with the DoorDash. That's how you end up overeating because you're hangry. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to have those same cycles, right? So for me, that's just where I've been at the last couple weeks, okay? And now that I feel like I can breathe more, I feel like I can see the light. Now I can say, okay, let's focus in and really get this going. And not just for the weight loss component, for the health, for the mental health. Like even my brain feels lighter, less foggy. So there's that. And I know I had a couple questions that had come in from the first episode saying like, hey, can you share some of your meals, some of your food ideas, meals, da 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 da. And you know, I wanna address that for a second. And I certainly can, and I will, but I just want to address that line of thinking for a second. The moment we find out someone's on a weight loss journey and we realize they're losing weight, what do we say? Ooh, what are you doing? Ooh, what are you eating? Ooh, how are you doing it? Because we have that curiosity. And a lot of times we have that curiosity from a place of, well, I'm just going to mimic what she's doing, so then I can have the same results. And I just want to caution everyone about that way of thinking. Because what works for me may not necessarily work for you, and vice versa. Because it's not, and that's what I want everybody to wrap their head around, that this is not just about weight loss. When you are on a, let's call it an irresistible you journey. When you are on a journey like that, the weight loss component is only one factor in the whole journey. And, you know, what I eat and consume is not necessarily going to work for you. You know, it just won't. Every single body is different. I want to challenge you to think about, instead of first jumping to, well, what are you eating and how are you know, what are your meal ideas? What are your snack ideas? What is this? What is that? What is your workout? I want you to look at people and say, how are they showing up every day? How are they taking care of themselves outside of what they eat? How are they feeling? Because I think it's just such embedded diet culture of like, ooh, I want to know what she's eating. Ooh, I want to know what her ideas are for her food. And it's not that we can't share those things because we can. I just want to point out where it can get dangerous into that like diet culture, keeping you stuck on the yo-yo diet shame cycle. Because then you go and you try whatever someone else is doing, and then it doesn't work for you. And then you end up on that same cycle of like beating yourself up and falling off the wagon and blah, blah, blah. And we don't want to do that. We want to find things that work for us, that work for our bodies, that we are willing to do the rest of our life. You should not be doing anything that you're not willing to do for the next, you know, 40, 50 years, however long you're going to live. You should not be doing anything that you're not willing to do forever. Period. And that's why these other grapefruit diet and trip, what is it, Special K diet, all this stupid shit that used to exist, it doesn't work. It doesn't work in the long term. So just think about that. Really think about that, okay? I think what's more important than, what do you, the specifics of what someone eats, I think what's more important there is for you to think about what kind of habits are they creating? And what kind of habits should I be creating? So when I think about myself, y'all, I still eat fast food. I still eat sweets. I still, overeat. It happens, okay? But I think about, and I could easily just beat myself up about that and say, oh, you're never going to learn. What's wrong with you? You should know better by now. But instead of doing that, I also look at the habits that I have obtained over the years that I didn't always have. I'm sitting here in my hand looking at my water. I have a big old thing of water that's always on my desk. It's always in my car. It's always with me. And I use a little, like some of the pink lemonade powder, Crystal Light to go in it because I don't like it drinking it plain. And I mean, I didn't start drinking water till I was in my 20s. And that probably sounds so just insane because it kind of is. I would say water makes me gag. I don't like it. And now, if I don't drink enough water in the day, I feel sick. Like I feel sluggish. I feel dehydrated. Because I got to know my body enough to know what it feels like to start feeling dehydrated and not getting enough water. So that's a habit. I didn't start eating bananas or fruit until I was in my 20s. And now I crave fruit. I crave it just, it helps with bloat. It helps with just, and speaking of bloating, last week was a period week. So I just want y'all to know. Okay, and let me, I forget, I was going to share this with you guys too. Okay, so last week I got on the scale every day just because I wanted to test. I wanted to see the fluctuations. And when I got on the scale, I want to say Monday of last week, y'all, I was at 236 before on Friday or whatever, the week prior. When I got on the scale that Monday, it was like 242. And if I wasn't in a healthy emotional state with the scale, I could have just lost it. And I said, okay, I'm on my period. I am severely bloated. I had some McDonald's over the weekend. Okay. Let's give it a couple days. And that's not my normal like weekly weigh-in day anyway. And so when I got back on the scale again a couple days later, we're down to 234.6. So that's why I want to reinforce to you guys, the scale is one piece of data. It is not the entire picture. Just wanted to point that out there. So let's look at habits like the water, the fruit. You guys, all I used to drink was real Pepsi. And then, must have been in my early 20s again, I started drinking. I hated Diet Pepsi. I hated it. And I started drinking it, and now it's the opposite. If they mess up at the restaurant and they give me a real Coke or Pepsi, I cannot. I just cannot with that. It tastes so gross to me. It's so sugary and sweet and disgusting that I just can't. So there's that. And there's just, certain items at certain restaurants that we go to that I like automatically order now. And these are just habits that develop over time to where all of a sudden I don't, it's like funny to me because like I don't even realize sometimes that these are, I have to kind of look at it and go, okay, yeah, this is an accomplishment because I didn't always do these things. This wasn't always how I did things. So, and as far as food goes, like I eat the same thing for breakfast every day. I've been eating the same thing for breakfast for, girl, I don't even know how many years, honestly. It's been a long time. And That is my egg beaters. I do egg beaters with a Laughing Cow cheese. It is so good because if you put the Laughing Cow cheese, it makes them really creamy. And so I mix the Laughing Cow cheese with the egg beaters. And I have a side of avocado with a little bit of sea salt. And then I'll do like, lately I've been doing the Sara Lee bread. It's like the Sara Lee 40, it's like, I don't know the name of it. It's like really low carb. And I've been doing that. And that's my breakfast. And the thing about breakfast, I don't ever wake up in the morning and go, ooh, I wonder how I could really indulge this morning. Like, it's just an automatic process. And that wasn't always the case either for me. That's been years in the making. And so that's another one of those habits is I just developed a breakfast that is a go-to. It's easy. I make it at home and I just go about my day and I don't think about it. Now, lunch and dinner, I'm not quite there yet. So I used to be there for lunch and I want to get back into this. So for lunches, I used to every single day, and this is easier for if you work from home, it's a lot easier for me because I do work from home, so I have everything here to just go to the kitchen. But for lunches, I would do like a salad with spinach and arugula, and I would get the Perdue. It's called like Smart Chicken. I don't know the exact name, but it's Perdue. It comes in a bag, it's frozen, and they're chicken tenders. I just can't sometimes do the grilled chicken on my salads. I don't know. It's you got to ease into things, right? I really like these chicken tenders and they're very they're a lot healthier. They don't have a lot of breading. It's just enough, right? And so I will heat those up and then put it on a bed of spinach, arugula, like mixed greens. I will put a little bit of blue cheese crumbles, a little bit of craisins, a little bit of pecans. What else do I put in there? What strawberries? Strawberries, that's my jam. Strawberries, some light balsamic vinaigrette. There's a skinny girl one that's really good. Mix that bad boy up, and it's so filling and tangy and delicious. And it's just, I'm like craving it now that I'm talking about it. And especially as we're getting into the hot months, it's just such a good summertime salad. And you know, you could put whatever protein you want, you could put grilled chicken on it, you could put anything, honestly. But that to me is just, I love any kind of salad with a blue cheese and a balsamic and a nuts. I love it. I love it. And strawberries. So that was kind of a go-to for me. And I also will put a little bit of avocado. Delicious. What I would do is in the morning, I would save some of that avocado for my lunch. And I would put it on top of the salad. And that is delicious. I think I'm like making a note. I'm like, yes, we are getting that on the grocery list this week. And your girl has to start eating more salad, which I'm explaining in a minute. But yes. So that would be like my salad for lunch. And then dinner. Dinner for me has always been kind of the challenge. I do not like to cook. And my thing is, you know, especially working from home, it's like making breakfast, making lunch. The last thing I want to do is be in my house downstairs making dinner at the end of the day. So, you know, I know that I eat out or have delivery way too much. I do need to cut that back. My body and my wallet will be very happy about that. And I need to find some more go-to meals that I really enjoy, that I look forward to. Now, here's another habit that you can adapt that I, you know, how we're talking about, let's adapt people's habits. One of the things I have found that really works for me for dinners, because I already know usually what I'm going to have for lunch and what I'm going to have for breakfast, right? I will go on my Google Calendar because I put everything in my Google Calendar. I live by it. And I will just make an event and I'll put dinner and I'll put the name of the dinner we're going to have, like dinner enchiladas, dinner tacos, dinner spaghetti, whatever we're going to have. And I put it on my calendar and I also add my husband so that we're both mentally kind of like preparing, okay, this is what we're going to have today. You know, and lately that doesn't really work. It's just going to work for me. I'm not going to be sending it to him because he's working nights again. So I'm still going to go ahead and put that on my calendar so that here's what it does. as the day goes on and I get busy, I have decisions that have to be made, I have people I have to deal with, challenges come up, stress comes up, the last thing you want to do is think about dinner when you're tired and when you're hangry and when you're stressed out. So all throughout the day, it kind of plants the seed of like, okay, tonight we're having tacos. And that way my brain isn't having to, number one, think about dinner, make that decision. And it's also like mentally prepping like, okay, I can't wait to eat this. This is going to be so good, right? So that's really helpful. I just find that helps for me is to put that on the calendar and have it ready to go. And yeah, so think about that. Think about people's habits. Think about things like that that you can adapt versus just wanting to have that person's meal plan so you can copy it and you may or may not get the same results, right? And then I just have a rule of like, it doesn't come into my house. If I don't want to eat, if I know I'm going to overeat or I'm going to have a hard time around that food, it just doesn't come home. I'm in charge of the groceries. I'm in charge of the food that comes in this house, and I just will not bring certain things in the home, period. Why have that temptation if you don't need to? So also making sure there are snacks that are, you know, quick go-to snacks that I know that are healthy, you know, that aren't going to overdo it, that kind of thing. So I know I've done episodes before on the podcast about finding your why, and I don't believe anyone should have one why for their weight loss journey, because having one why is just not enough. It's not enough to sustain you. I mean, I have probably 30 or 40 whys. I mean, you really can get granular and like really write these things down. And, you know, another reason that just to keep that conversation about, you know, what are people eating and what are their meals, you know, everybody has different dietary needs. And, you know, keep that in mind too. So it's like going back to, you know, it's not just about losing weight for the sake of losing weight. What are the other reasons that you want to do this? And, you know, I know for me right now, I've got to make some changes. I've got to rein it in a little bit more with what I'm choosing. So for me, I have always found like in the past, whenever I was losing weight, I'm not going to say I could eat whatever I want. I'm not that person. But I could pretty much eat a lot of things in moderation and not really have to worry. And I could still get the weight off, and I never had issues with my labs, with my blood levels. I never had issues with cholesterol, never had issues with, you know, my glucose or, you know, blood pressure, any of those things. And in the spirit of being honest and transparent, I had my labs returned today. I had a doctor appointment this week, and my cholesterol is high, you guys. It is. It's high. And so I've got to make some big changes. And also my A1C was 1 point over where it should be. So it's literally 1 point in the category of pre-diabetic. Yeah. Welcome to being 40, I guess. I don't know. But I've got some serious changes to make. And I take this extremely seriously. Like, I am not going to let this become my path. I am not going to let this become my part of my story. And I know that I have to really work on that because it's in my genetics. It's in my genetics. My parents have high cholesterol. They have type 2. You know, I need to just really be on top of things and change my diet and change, just make some big lifestyle changes. And I also was doing some research, and I know, you know, I know the things I need to be able to do to get through that. But I was also in my quest of learning more about stress and weight loss, weight gain, and all of that. Chronic stress increases your cholesterol. Because I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I don't eat nearly like I used to. When I was at my highest weight pre-children, I ate like shit. I mean, I could throw some food down. I mean, I would eat and eat and eat. And I mean, the binging was just out of control. And I think about now, I'm like, okay, yeah, I know I need to cut back in certain areas. However, I've never had an issue with cholesterol, you know, and I know some of my lifestyle choices are contributing to that. I'm not naive to that at all, but I also do believe a lot of this chronic stress over the past year has not helped the situation. So that is something I'm going to be actively working on. And what I'm going to start with first is just making sure every single day there's exercise. And by exercise, guys, we don't have to kill ourselves at the gym. Right now, for me, exercise is walking. I love walking, just getting outdoors, and the outdoors helps your mental state, your emotional state, and it helps your body. Just moving my body more, continuing to, because the more I get the weight off, it's going to help with those numbers. And the more I start to make better choices, like incorporating my salads again and those things, will help get my numbers down. And that's my goal. And you watch, I'm gonna get those numbers down. And that is another reason why what works for me may not work for you. Because if someone, let's say someone is a type 2 diabetic, or their diet, they're type 1, either one. And so, you know, they need to eat, especially a type 2, needs to eat a very low carb diet. Sometimes when you eat a low carb diet and you're having more meat and more cheeses and things like that, it spikes your cholesterol. And so someone who needs to see what I'm going with this, like everybody needs to personalize their meal plan to meet their own health needs. So I hope that helps. I hope this whole thing was helpful. So I am, you know, I'm tightening up them reins, y'all. I'm gonna start walking more. I'm gonna start prepping my meals more. I'm gonna start just really being more conscious of what I'm eating and like actually looking again and kind of reanalyzing some of the things that I'm doing or have been doing for a long time. Because like I said, this month I've just kind of like relaxed a little bit with the stress. And I know I've cut back in some areas, so now it's time to like let's tidy up the house. Let's get this together. And that's what we're gonna do because I plan on being here a very long time. I want to be here with my kids. I want to be healthy for my kids. I don't want to have to take medications. I want to be the best version of me that I can be. And I can't be the best version at this weight, at these levels. I just can't. And so I think we can maybe talk about that next week. Is also thinking about like the reasons why you want to lose weight. Why is this important to you? And getting away from, I just want to lose weight so that I'm accepted. I just want to lose weight so that I'm not the fat friend. It's like, okay, but you got to have more to it than just that. Like, come on, guys. So I think that's going to wrap things up. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and making some improvements, making some adjustments. Let me know what you want to see from me, you know, not only on the podcast, but I really want to get more into like sharing some of this on my Instagram as well and just getting more involved that way because I feel like the last couple months to a year it's been a lot. So anyway, I wish everybody the best. Keep doing what you're doing, keep pushing, keep striving, keep trying to become the most irresistible version of yourself. I will catch you in the next episode. Until then, stay irresistible. Bye, guys.